This podcast is a presentation of UCTV.tv, University of California Television. Like what you learn? Help others discover UCTV podcasts by leaving a comment or rating in iTunes.
Hi, everyone. We are past the time, so I'll be brief. I'll just simply ask you to take a deep breath and relax. I'm going to make the summary brief. But how do you summarize a conference of 35 global health champions that have gone through 10 panels, conversations, a keynote speech, and then interacted with such a lively audience over the course of a day? You can't. So I'll offer a few personal reflections on the day. I listened, I kept notes, and of course, I went to the reference books to say, who has wisdom on what's next? That's the theme of the symposium. Yogi Berra said, I'm following you, Mark. It's tough to make predictions, especially about the future. And then when he got pushed, he said, the future ain't what it used to be. And then when he got pushed further, he said, I never said most of the things I said. Now, another guru is Donald Rumsfeld, who said, in explaining Iraq, there are known knowns. These are things we know that we know. There are known unknowns. That is to say, these are things we know we don't know. But then there's also unknown unknowns. These are things we don't know we don't know. This conference, I understand, is known knowns. We also dealt with some known unknowns. Unknown unknowns, I don't understand. I understand simple terms like wisdom and ignorance, but not unknown unknowns. So let me very briefly go through some of the known knowns that we went through today. Very quickly, we dealt with health threats, pandemics, Ebola, outbreaks, antibiotic resistance, neglected tropical diseases, neonatal mortality, and repeatedly the non-communicable diseases came up in the panel discussions. We dealt with health actions in response to those threats, maternal child health, essential surgery, product R&D, including delivery, global funding, and metrics and measurement, and repeatedly the healthcare system that embeds the actions came up. We dealt with the context, the real live context in Rwanda. I felt we did not deal with the cross-cutting issue of what we know about people changing. Richard talked about the numbers, the speed, and the velocity of travel, but we also have aging. We also have urbanization, and of course, people are now more educated, more aware, they have access to internet, and they are much more assertive in terms of their demands for health equity, and also more assertive in terms of what the providers owe them as patients and citizens. So I think this is a dynamic change that's taken place among the knowns. What's next about the known unknowns? Well, I have three categories very quickly. One is progress and maybe breakthrough. The other is the unexpected, perhaps crisis. And the third is what I'll call aspiration and inspiration. Progress, Jaime started by saying the world has made great progress. Life expectancy, 70 years. Our model, Bill Foege, the forever optimist, says we've gained huge amounts of life expectancy. We don't even know where the upper limits are. In the United States, the last 50 years, we've added 10 years of average life expectancy. That means for each of us here, for every year we survive, we get 2 months free. It's a freebie. Every year, you get 2 months free. So there's great progress there. And of course, we had the session on breakthroughs. There's a revolution going on in genomics and IT and drug development. Much of it is being driven by a very powerful health sector. 10% of the global GDP is devoted to health. So I think there are prospects of continuing progress and maybe some breakthroughs. But we also know from history that we can encounter some unexpected crises. Ebola is one. Obviously, people people talked about the 1918 pandemic, but we've also had major losses in two world wars in the 20th century. We've also had famine and starvation. As recently, 15 famines since 1960, the last great famine being in China, with 40 million people passing away. We did not discuss unexpected the planetary health at all, the long-term threat of our ecology to health, and are we at a threshold of a tipping point, or is this a long-term decay? There's global warming, there are many more natural disasters. And also, we have to be careful about our assumptions. I do a lot of work today in China, and we had a tobacco control program. I went to see a government vice minister about how to continue the decline of tobacco consumption. Two-thirds of the men in China smoke. Actually, it was done with the Gates Foundation. And the vice minister said, how are you assuming that the rate is going to decline? I think it's going to go up. The industry is run by the government. It's a very profitable industry. And the health ministry is a very low person on a totem pole in China. He said, oh, look at all the women. They're hardly smoking at all in China. So he was being very blunt and saying, you know, this is a struggle. This is not an automatic that tobacco will go down. We recently studied China's entry into global health. And by the way, on the funding and the metrics in these other areas, I think China's rise is very quick. It's very silent and is very, very different. So all of the models that we had here presenting about the structure of decisions and the trends are not necessarily viable. A recent paper just published this last month on China's emergence in global health shows that they're doing it their own way, which is very different assumptions from what the Western world has established as the OECD system. So these are the crises and the unexpecteds that we can think about as to what's next. We have talked about aspirations for controlling the neglected diseases, even maybe completing the polio eradication, although that's a very major area for debate and discussion. Dean Jameson's Grand Convergence, which is an aspiration, this is hope and planning, it's not reality. Okay, and of course, Jaime spoke about the paper they recently published looking at the sustainable development goals of a 40% reduction for those under the age of 70 in each country. These are aspirations that all of us in the global health community can subscribe to. But Hari Feinberg really put it on the table as what gives us inspiration, not just hope and planning, but what animates and motivates global health action and commitment and passion. And I think equity is a theme that does so. Now, Amartya Sen said, don't mistake equity for equality in health. Equality is everything being equal. That's not what we're talking about in equity. Equity is an ethical and moral construct. It involves dialogue about what is considered fair. And therefore, there is no single destination that's final in health equity. It is a journey. It is a value-based journey. And that journey has a set of interactive value-based discussions about our moral compass and our ethical value base. And that's why I think this theme that so many of you spoke about in collaboration, in dialogue, in the transdisciplinary sandbox, all of these aspects are part and parcel of the global health definition. I think Bill Rutter put it right when he said global health is the pin of the 21st century. It is about the human condition, and it is about this journey that we're making into this new world. And by the way, that journey is very different than the 20th century journey. Just look at this audience, and you'll see immediately the generational and the gender transformation that's taking place in global health. It's two-thirds ladies out there, WWM, you know, compared to the stage. And that's the transition we're going through in global health. So, what's next? I think the symposium points the way. We've gone through some of the known knowns. We've looked at some of the known unknowns. We've shared much wisdom. Jaime at the beginning said, this is a critical time, a transitional time. Richard Feachum said, this is a historical window of opportunity. I feel that the truth in terms of what's next is to keep your eye on UCSF. UCSF has a track record. It's run some of the largest agencies, the Global Fund, Gavi, PEPFAR, the World Bank. It's seeded the phenomenal success of the Consortium of Universities and Global Health. It's seeded two Lancet commissions that have had very powerful global health impact. So you're looking at seeds here at UCSF. It's got talent. It's got a wonderful faculty. And three who are friends I have to cite. Richard Feacham, you've been my hero for four decades now. And we go back to the diarrhea period, and I followed you all four. He was a great diarrhea expert, by the way, before malaria. Wrote some of the classic papers. I remember meeting Howley at Bellagio 15 years ago, and he had that twinkle in his eye, and he said, I want to start a medical school in Eritrea. And I'm very interested in global health. And I said, oh, my God, this guy's really interesting, a surgeon, and so forth. And, of course, I watched Holly pin Tachi Yamada down at the Italian restaurant now 5-6 years ago when he convinced Tachi that he had to seed the consortium, the university consortium funding. And, of course, that was launched and is one of the great successes for both of you, that this is now started as the fastest growing university system in the United States. So, Tachi, my hat's off to you. And I know that this conference is a seed of a 10-year investment for you, but you've seen the fruition of the plant grow into a full blossom in the symposium today. Last but not least is the director, El Capitan, Jaime Sepulveda, who did, by the way, invent the diagonal approach. I want to confirm that from Paul. Jaime and I have been friends for 34 years, and he's been an outstanding leader. Many of you don't know that he was not only in charge of infectious disease control in Mexico, but he very bravely stood up against powerful forces in Mexico to defend the dignity and the human rights of AIDS victims for treatment. That was very costly, a long battle that he won, but it was a very, very brave stand that Jaime took in his earlier years. Of course, he went on to even greater things at the Institute of Public Health, following Julio Frank, and then at the Gates Foundation, and now here. And Jaime is a quiet visionary. He is not a loud person, and he's a model collaborator. Everybody stressed collaboration, and Jaime is really the optimal collaborator. He does everything quietly and allows everybody to shine. So, Jaime, this symposium is a salute to you, to Holly, to Richard, and others here at UCSF. Thank you, Jaime, for making this symposium come to a reality, and congratulations to UCSF.
So, it's been a long, rich, and productive day. Perfect timing for my phone to ring. Lincoln, that was far too much. Thank you. He was my mentor and tutor at the Harvard School of Public Health. And yes, we've been close friends for more than three decades, and his words did show that. Thank you very much. So, on a personal, sentimental note, this week has been one of the most enjoyable in recent years. We inaugurated our new Global Health and Clinical Sciences building, and I will take this opportunity to thank Mr. Chuck Feeney, who made with a generous gift that opportunity possible. I also feel very happy about the special issue in science. I want to thank Bruce Alberts, who made it happen at the beginning, and recognize Barbara Jasny and Orla Smith, with whom I collaborated for almost, 18 months in putting this together. That was quite a feat. Thank you so very much. One of the largest privileges and sources of joy is to see our 45 students of the class of 2014. Please raise your hands. So these are the global health students of today, but the global health leaders of tomorrow. This has been a splendid excuse to see all my good friends who I don't get to see, the real global health champions of the world. So organizing a symposium every once in a while is a wonderful opportunity to get to see them. Taking stock of the last 3 years and building on what Haile Debass and Richard Feachem and George Rutherford and John Sigler, I saw him there, he is, who started the Master of Sciences in Global Health. We've been able to bring together a very amazing group of people. I want to recognize Colin Boyle, my deputy, with whom I would not be able to do absolutely anything. I want to recognize Paul Wolverding and Molly Cook, Eric Goosby, one of our most recent recruits. Dean Jamieson is here. Amy Lockwood, I think, is sitting in the audience. Mary Wilson and Harvey Feinberg, the most recent additions to the UCSF Global Health Sciences family. And also Dilys Walker and her trailing spouse, Stefano Bertossi, who is the dean of Berkeley. So having all of these wonderful leaders and friends near make life so much happier. This, by the way, this symposium has been recorded by UCTV. Panelists have given permission for the reproduction of the session for didactic purposes in all of the UC systems. So this will be replicated many, many times over. Many memorable quotes from today's symposium. Where's Joy Lown? Oh, you've been quoted frequently. WWM. I did not feel alluded because as a Mexican, I don't qualify as white. I certainly don't qualify as wise. So I'm fine with that. No offense. But she's absolutely right. We do need to do better in terms of gender distribution. And promise next year we'll do better. But the promise is right here. 60% of our medical students are female, more than two-thirds of overall our class of Master of Sciences are female. So it's only a matter of time, believe me. Lincoln alluded to the 2007 symposium we organized here that led to the creation of CUGH and the Lancet Commission on Health Professional Education for the 21st Century. So I wonder, what is going to be the product, the day after, the week after, the year after product and consequence and outcome of this? I don't know. Let's think about that together. So time to finish. Time to say thank you. Thank you to all the panelists. Thank you to the moderators who did a splendid job, timekeeper as well. And most importantly, thank you for the staff who worked so hard in making this possible. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.